John chapter 15. Let's read the words of life with reverence and honor as we commit the sermon to the Lord. Verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord, our Savior, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the grace and mercy that we all receive today. For your mercy and your compassion is fresh every morning, and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what's happening around us in the world. But Lord, we are not discouraged. We are not shaken. We are not distracted. For we look up to thee. And we look up to thy name. We look up to thy promises. And we look down on the solid foundation upon which you have planted our feet, not to be moved, to be steadfast, to be immovable. For you are coming very soon, Lord. Lord, may you bless us to focus on our life, to desire for the fruit of the Holy Ghost to manifest in our life. Not one, not two, all of it. For the Lord who called all of us by name, you loved us with all your heart. And Lord, we love you with all our heart. May you bless us to be the vessel as a whole, not in part. For you had forgiven all our sins in full. Lord, may you bless us, Lord, to complete our life with a perfect submission, to finish our journey with a beautiful song in our life, written by you, our author of our salvation. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day where we all blessed, strengthened, pruned, chastened, washed, encouraged, and Lord, blessed to utter your name, to sing songs to glorify your name, to praise you, to worship you in joy, the confidence that we all have. My Master, my Savior, my God is real. The living God that is working in all of us, Lord, we are glad. We are glad that the joy that you have put in all our hearts, Lord, it doesn't fear the flesh. It doesn't fear the world, Lord. We fear your name. We are all called to fear you, Lord. The fear of God is the beginning of the knowledge and wisdom. May you bless all of us to hold on to the reverence and honor in thy presence, to give our everything, to bring the sweet aroma, to bring the fire incense that is beautiful, acceptable according to your pleasure and will. Lord, I pray that you take complete control of our hearts, our minds, our words, our intents, our understanding. For we ask for the Spirit to move in the midst of us, to move like a gentle breeze, touch us and mold us and make us to be better day by day. For we are called to shine the agape love of God. May you bless all of us to receive the promise that everything will work together for good. For God is good. And Lord, may you bless us to hold on to you. You are our promised land. You are our exceedingly great reward. And Lord, may you bless all of us to be fruitful, to have the wildfire of Holy Ghost, to keep on thinking about you, to serve you with your grace. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we surrender the place, sanctify the place, consecrate the place, and we surrender our heart. Sanctify our heart, consecrate our heart for the Holy Ghost to whisper in our heart, to listen to the still small voice and to receive the blessed thought for us to grow, to conform to the image of God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen and amen. Shalom, dear brethren. God bless you all. God bless you all, saints joining from different places. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank the Lord for today. We thank the Lord for the praise and worship. not everyone can praise and worship the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless all of us to hold on to the truth, which is the only way through which we can earn the blessing of the true worshippers of God. The truth that set us free, separated us from everything else, not just hurt us or made us to be partial or something that is incomplete. The Lord made things complete by separation. The Lord made things complete by pruning, by chastening. And as we just read the beautiful words of life, the Lord was keep on reminding us, forget not, I am the root. If we say, okay Lord, let me take the position of branch, the scripture says He is the branch. If we say, okay Lord, let me go and take the position of the fruit, and there is no other fruit other than the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He is all in all. The only way for us to be part of Him is to be in Him, for Him to be in us. Like the river, it's flowing, working, it shows the sign of life. The day when the river is stopped by a dam, it becomes a lake, it becomes a pool, whatever it is. Because the name river is a sign that the water is not staying in the same place. It is keep on moving forward, falling downward, whatever it is, but it is not staying in the same place. The Lord is moving. The Lord is always moving. God who keepeth Israel neither sleep nor slumber. He never stops. The grace that abounds in our life, the revelation is keep on pouring out by the Lord. And we read in the scripture, in the end of the days, the Lord will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And we are living in that time. We live and we witness with our very own eyes what all the mighty prophets, servants of God, kings that God used mightily, whatever they saw from a far distance in their faith, we are literally standing in the time. I was fellowshipping with some brethren overseas last week. Some of them, some new believers, some non-believers, some of them who are from different religions. They were asking me, I was hoping to see you and your church and your fellowship, you brethren would discuss about the latest events and see how to decode this with all the prophecies and what is happening, what is the timeline we are looking at. So I was discussing with them in truth and in love. It is very easy for us to make things exciting. By profession, I'm a senior scientist. I would love to go and dig details and to make a summary and come here and make a fantastic presentation. You would say, wow, is it like that? Then we are no different from the news channels. There is no difference between us and all those people who seek for the worldly knowledge. It is pretty easy. But as the signs are going around our life, we can see things are escalating. True, no one is denying that. It's not the same world that we see 10 years ago. No one is denying that. But what is important? To decode, to pinpoint, to understand, or to look at ourselves, where do we stand? Do we have our heart set right in the sight of the Lord? Do we desire for the fruit of the Holy Ghost to be able to shine through our life? Do we have meekness? Do we have temperance? Do we have contentment? Do we have peace? Do we have faithfulness? Are we grateful to the Lord? Do we fear the Lord? All of those things are those things, all those apostles and our Savior and all those patriarchs that keep on stressing. Be prepared. Be prepared. It's not about when the Lord is going to come and fulfill the promises. It's all about when you are going to stop breathing. You never know. None of us know. We never know. The time is now. Whatever it is, wherever it is, for whomever it is, it's always now. That is why you will see the scripture, the word now, everywhere. Now, therefore, now, today is the day. We are called to prepare, we are called to surrender for the gardener to prune all the unwanted branches as thick as possible, according to His will. Do not think, it's okay, the Lord will take care of me. The scripture says, do not delay in performing the commandments of the Lord. What the Lord says, you will delay. You will linger. You will go complacent. You will just go and sleep. The Lord says, do not delay, because He won't delay. He waits. There is a beautiful difference between the word delay and wait. What was purposed could not be done at that appointed time, it's called delay. But my brethren, is there anything what God has purposed would not come to pass? There is nothing. Amen? If the Lord waits, even His waiting period is part of His divine plan. Grace. It's called grace. It's not called, you can't define it as delay. But the Lord says, you would delay. I would delay. We would go to sleep. We would slumber. We would linger. Irrespective of all the promises Lot received from the two men, he still lingered. Then both of them, they put their hands upon him and they hold him strong. If they didn't do it, he would have keep on lingering, right? The Lord blessed all of us. It's enough. The time is now. Things are true. Things are changing outside us. But we cannot be fooled. We cannot be distracted in spending time on things that you have absolutely no control. Are you going to stop anything? No. But you can do something. We all of us can do something about our life. The Lord has told us, you are the master of your life until I became your master. Until it is Christ in me and I don't see my name, I don't see my flesh, I just see the goodness of the Lord in me. That perfection, no one can earn it by himself, by herself. That's what we just read. Without the vine, we are nothing. And what is beautiful when you see a tree is the root. Amen? Because the root cannot be seen. It is always hidden. The faith, the revelation, the goodness, all the spiritual blessing the Lord has given you, the Lord wants us to keep it as a root. Not to show, look at my leaf. Hey, look at my branch. It's very strong. Look at this. The Lord blessed all of us to understand from Moses, when his face was shining, when people were disturbed, he hid his face with a veil. Why? What God wanted to be done in the life of Moses, there is only one who can stop it, Moses himself. Because everything else, he will take care of it. But God cannot force you to serve him. God cannot drag you to serve him. God cannot control you to serve him. He wants your desire. He wants your willingness. He wants your boldness. He wants you to embrace the sufferings, which is also your decoration. Without embracing the fellowship of his sufferings, we would never look beautiful in the sight of the groom. For he had suffered for you and for me. Now, if the scripture says, there is no son, there is no father, right? The life continues. If there is a wild, a very big forest, someone go and throw a spark of fire, it's a dry forest, not wet, no rain, and the fire catches, and one by, one tree at a time. Then after some time, the whole forest is completely burnt down. You could say, how beautiful this forest was before this fire. I wish this fire was not there. But what if that forest represents your flesh? What if that forest is very similar to Sodom and Gomorrah, Jericho? You would say, thank you, Lord, for the fire, for burning all of this down. So, the word destruction can be seen as a blessing by a group of people, can also be seen as a curse, as a destruction, persecution by another group of people. Why? Jesus perceived the Pharisees and Sadducees. He can read the audience. Amen? Because he can read what are the intents and thoughts. He can read the audience. He can read and he knows when to escape from them. Not to punish them. Not to go and say, I am the word of God. No, no, no. When he said, before Abraham was I, everyone started looking for stones to kill him. He just escaped from them. The Alpha and Omega fled from them. David fled from the presence of Saul because it was not the time. Saul threw a spear. Remember? David fled from the presence of Saul. And the spear went and hit the wall, not David. Wall, not David. Now, if the Lord blessed all of us to understand the importance of living His word, holding on to His Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is for you, the gifts of the Spirit is for Him. It's for Him to serve. If the water pot is cracked, when the Lord wants to pour the water is keep on leaking. The Lord would say, focus on your life. Let me repair you. Let me repair the broken vessel. Let me give you a new heart. Let me heal your heart. He wants to do a work in us. But if he says, Lord, I just want to serve wine, I just want to serve you, the Lord says, I must perfect you before we serve him. Every prophet, Isaiah, Ezekiel, you just go and study their life. The Lord met them, prepared them, washed them, sanctified them, taught them, chastened them before they were thrown into service. What happened to Moses? There was a preparation before the sacrifice. If you do not prepare, that sacrifice could become an abomination. Could be the very last sacrifice we offered in the rest of our life. He would just put an end to it. Now, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8. Brother Infant, please read this for me. I will go and write. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, from verse 1.
Ezekiel, chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me there. Then I looked, and there was lightness, that the appearance of fire from the appearance of his waist and downward, fire and from his waist and upward, like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. He stretched out the form of a hand, and took me by a lock of my hair, and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven, and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem.
Amen.
To the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. Then he said to me, Son of man, lift your eyes now toward the north. So I lifted my eyes toward the north, and there, north of the outer gate, was this image of jealousy in the entrance. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations that the house of Israel commits here to make me go far away from my sanctuary? Now turn again, you will see greater abominations. So he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, Son of man, dig into the wall. And when I dug into the wall, there was a door. And he said to me, Go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there. So I went in and saw, and there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around on the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, and in their midst stood Jedaniah the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up.
Amen.
Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room of his idols. For they say, The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. And he said to me, Turn again, and you will see greater abominations that they are doing. So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house, and to my dismay, woman was sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Then he said to me, Have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, you will see greater abominations than this. So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they were worshipping the sun toward the east. And he said to me, Have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence. Then they returned to provoke me to anger, Indeed, they put the branch to their noses. Therefore, I also will act in fury. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, brother. Chapter 8, book of Ezekiel. There were 7 chapters before this. The Lord establishes His relationship with the watchman, asks him to do certain things for him to speak. Even before the Lord revealed things about His children, about His temple, about His inner court, He prepared the watchman, took him to the plain, and the glory of the Lord stood there, and the watchman said, "The Spirit entered into me, set me upon my feet." So previously, he was not upon his feet. He was not upright in the sight of the Lord. You remember, if you are an archer, and you take a bow, if that bow is crooked, no matter how skillful you are, no matter how efficient you are, whatever you try, that arrow will never hit the target. Because it is not meant to pierce through the air and maintain the focus. Because it is not straight. It's crooked. It's not the shape of arrow. It is something else, like a snake. And when the Lord told Joshua, "Don't turn to your left, turn to your right," it's not just focus on the destination, just get things done, just bring the people to the promised land. It's not just that. He says, keep your focus always on me. Do not be distracted by the noise. Do not be distracted by the beast. Do not be distracted by all the stones thrown at you. Don't be distracted by the viper that keep on biting your feet. Just look at me. Keep your focus straight. Get your heart straight with me. And we can't do it if the Spirit is not in us. Do you really think, Lord, I have all the gifts of Holy Spirit. Yes, gifts are irrevocable. But I don't have the fruit of the Spirit. What the Lord would say? I never knew you. The only way God can identify you as His is the Spirit that is in you. His Spirit, not your Spirit. The witnessing of the Spirit of the Lord with our Spirit, the consistent suppression of our life for Him to take the preeminence in our life, is extremely crucial, starting from your heart. Then goes to your family. Then goes to your testimony. Then goes to the congregation where you dwell in. It's like a light that shines, the radiance is going from your inner chamber, then shines bright. I can never say, hold on to a light in my hand. This is the light, this is the light. You can drop it. A strong wind will come and just blow the light off, and there is no light. But what if the Lord says, focus on the inner chamber, the inner light, the true light, that no one can put off. No one can make the light of Stephen to be put off, because it was not accessible by men. It was like the tree of life was sealed by the cherubim of the Lord. The Lord sealed him. And He said, I seal you with the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. Amen? There is no other seal that can protect you from the destruction. There is no other wall that can save us from all the filthiness, from all the things that are reserved for the wrath of God. I was praying with one of a non-believer some months ago. He was very scared what's going on in his life. Tragic death in his family, sickness, diseases, and what's going on around the world. World war, economy, collapses of countries, bankruptcy. He was very scared, very panicked. And he said, please pray for me. The Lord keep me safe. The Lord bless me to hold on to Him, to enter into the promised land. He was scared. So we were fellowshipping. I was telling him, the fear that you have, can you prayerfully see it is not the fear of God? No, I fear God. I fear God of what's happening in my life, of what's happening around me. That is not the fear of God. It's fear of flesh. You are scared. You are troubled. You think what's going to happen tomorrow. The fear of God is, what would happen if there is no flame in my temple? What would happen if I drop the fruit of the Spirit? What would happen if I go and betray my Savior who died for me on the cross? What would happen if the Lord takes His hands off and I go and embrace my flesh, my filthiness, my own righteousness, and go and keep on stabbing me in the back because He loves me truly? What would happen if I don't show reverence and honor to the Lord? Because that is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, right? The day when we lose the fear of God, you lose everything. We lose knowledge, we lose wisdom, then we lose our sight, we lose everything. We become someone who is holding on a lamp and going to the paths of destruction very clearly. Not like wandering. Because that lamp is not a lamp the Lord has given us. Now the Lord is unfolding the mysteries of Him to His vessel. But this chapter is so beautiful, it's prophetical, as we know, especially chapter 36, 37, even unto the time of now. But the beauty is the way the Lord dealt with the inner chambers, outer courts, northern gate, and the Lord was keep on talking about the walls. Last two Sundays, we were meditating on one single word, mortar, untempered mortar, and what would happen if we seal the bricks with a mortar, with a cement that is not of the Lord. The Lord would let you build it. Now we see why He let us build it. The hole in the wall and the mortar of the wall, those are two different things. Amen? This is the wall and there is no door. And we say, oh, the door is that side, so you can go this. So everybody knows there is only one door to go in, to go out, to tell the brethren, this is the way out, way in. So everybody agreed, okay, this is the door. What if I go and build this wall, and secretly I just made a simple white sheet, you can't see, and it looks like a hole, I can just go and steal something from outside and bring it inside, or I can go and steal something from the pulpit and take it outside. A hole in the wall. And when the Lord told the watchman, okay, I'm going to show you the abominations, but don't rest. Don't think it's over. I'm going to peel off the layer one by one. One by one, until I show you all the nakedness. And He started from the word, hole in the wall. Not a window. Not a door. A hole. It's called hole. You say, okay, so what? A hole here. Let's say we are all traveling in a small boat, a strong storm going on, and we see a hole at the bottom. Would you be addressed? Would you say, it's okay, a simple hole? You would die. The boat will sink. We all will die. Then we will go and seal it. We will go and find whatever we can, and we work together to seal it. Amen? Because the boat would sink and you would die. But if the same hole is on the wall, it's okay. We can repair it. I can put some watchmen there so that nobody would steal the precious, no precious jewels. Nobody would steal all the treasures of this house. But what happens after that is how the Lord sees it. He calls it as a whole. Then you look at the way how the words are uttered. I read from verse 7. And He brought me to the door of the court, not the inner court. We have to meditate very seriously, sincerely, prayerfully, how the Lord peels off the layer one by one, like how you take the onion and cut it, take one by one. One by one. Stage by stage. Step by step. When I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Yes, it looked like a hole in the wall. Then said He unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. He asked Him to dig now in the wall. When He dig into the wall, behold, a door. So just look at this word. Behold, a hole in the wall. Behold, a door, and this door allowed all the wicked abominations to enter. There was an entry point. There was an unacceptable hole, unacceptable way to bring filthiness inside the inner court, inside the holy place. Now let's put all things together. God told Nehemiah, you are a builder of this wall. So go and build the wall. I will raise the builders of the wall. And they built the wall. But the scripture says they did not put the door until they finished the wall. So that there is no breach. Remember? Breach. There shall not be any breach. Because the enemies are watching when they can enter. Is there any loophole? Is there any gap? Is there any division? They will take advantage of it. A single crack in a glass tank will break the entire tank. A single hole in the boat will sink the entire boat. A single block in your heart will kill your life. One single attack, gone. Hole in the wall. For the wall is called wall only if it is sealed. no one can penetrate. They should only jump over. But they also can't jump over because the Lord put watchmen to sit upon the wall. Hezekiah placed the watchmen to sit upon the wall so that no one can jump over. And they can also watch what's happening around. Because no one can penetrate. The walls are sealed. There is only one way through it, the gates. And no one can penetrate the gates. It's properly sealed. But the hole, why the Lord allows the hole to be there? Why the Lord allows an imperfection to be there if the Lord wants a place to be holy? Hole in the wall, hole in your heart, hole in your flesh, hole in your mind, hole in your intention, abomination, unacceptable behavior, things of the flesh that makes your heart always like a hole. When the Lord pours out this blessing, you just simply let it pass through. Nothing stays. A vessel without any bottom. The Lord is throwing rain of teaching, rain of healing, rain of mercy, rain of grace, rain of all His blessedness. It just goes in and goes out. No bottom. Like a bottomless pit. Nothing. Nothing stays. Feel dead for a while, feel good for a while, then you go to the sign, everything is dry. Then go back to the flesh. All of us, when we are in the flesh, we always had our door. A small hole. We go and do all the worldly stuff and come back and just say, praise the Lord. The Lord is my shield. He is my master. This routine, things that we do with assurance, repeatedly, with confidence, the Lord will forgive me, I know. It's okay. I can just be angry. It's okay. The Lord is also angry. I'm just trying to imitate Him. Lucifer tried to imitate Him. Look what happened to him. We can conform to His image in His word, not to imitate Him in His authority. He is the only Savior. Amen. The head of the church. Hole in the wall. Few months before we meditated, strong drink and the state of mind. Amen. When we are drunk with some alcohol, with something that pollutes your state of mind, you become shaking. You are not of your own. You are not at your best. You say things, you say words, you hurt people, you act as if someone. Because the drink took the better of you. The drink uncovered the shame of you. But there is even more worse drink than that. Our own thoughts, our own understanding. It is even more dangerous and worse than that alcohol. Because it can only affect your flesh. But this can affect your spiritual life. How you stand in the presence of the Lord. With a strange fire or sweet aroma. With a wall that is beautifully plastered with a tempered mortar according to the word of the Lord. Or untempered mortar according to our mind and our own flesh. The word mortar, I was reminded just a few days ago. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis. Chapter 11. Let's read this. Chapter 11. Book of Genesis, chapter 11, verse 3 to 4. I will read. And they said to one another, go to, let us make brick. And burn them thoroughly. Read this very carefully. And burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and same had they for mortar. Who are those people, my brethren? Those who wanted to build a tower. Who gathered in one mind, with one desire, we are going to build a tower. And these people are talking the similar way of God, how He was talking, let us make a man in our image and likeness. And they say, come, let us make a tower. And let's go and bring all the bricks and burn it thoroughly. How the Lord called all of us to wash ourselves in the Jordan thoroughly 7 times. Like silver, refined thoroughly, to be purified. Now the enemies are speaking, let's go and bring the brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slim for they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city And the tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name. So let's make a name for ourselves. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So they thought building a tower unto heaven, doing something to make a name for themselves, would prevent, would protect, would shield them from being scattered all around the face of the earth. But actually they end up being scattered. Because the Lord confounded the language and they made them not to understand one another and they were divided and the Lord simply scattered them. But they also prepared a mortar to put the bricks together to build the tower against the will of God. And the Lord says, oh, they are together, they are so together. They are one mind, they have this desire to do something together, so there is nothing that they cannot do what they imagine. Spoken by God Himself. Mortar. Now let's turn our Bibles, Book of Isaiah chapter 41. Book of Isaiah chapter 41. Now let's refresh a bit. Chapter 36 and 37 and 38, Book of Isaiah, we finished it a few weeks before concerning the lessons that we are called to learn from Hezekiah and Isaiah son of Amos when Sennacherib waged a war against them and he surrounded the city and the Lord blessed them to be delivered. And we learned from how the Lord dealt with Rabshakeh, Sennacherib and the sons, Adramelech and Sharezer, who killed their father. We know the story, but we are not here to remember the story. We are here to receive the lesson, to receive the words of life. What is there for us to learn, to be pruned, to understand, to accept and to move forward. Amen? Because the Lord is teaching us from everything, from everyone. So this is what happened 36, 37, 38. Now we are in chapter 41. In between, there is something happened to King Hezekiah. He committed a sin out of his foolishness. A very bad sin he committed out of his foolishness. Before we go there, let's read this. Chapter 41, verse 25. I will read this. Chapter 41, verse 25. Let's read from verse 24, which goes very well with what we read just now, John 15. Behold, ye are of nothing. Behold, ye are of nothing. Chapter 41, verse 24. And your work of naught, an abomination, is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name. And he shall come upon princes as upon mortar. What? He shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. As the potter treadeth clay. So we all always we are inspired by the word clay and by the word potter. Lord, I am the clay. Mold me and do whatever you want. Bless me to shine your light, to shine your love, to hold on to your truth. Lord, do something in me. We know the potter and the clay in the hands of the potter, we submit. The potter can do anything. Amen. If he is someone who makes a vessel, he will use you and to make some vessel for his use in his house, in the house of the master, the great house. But if he is a builder, he will also bring some bricks. He will go and bring some slime, some mortar, some paste to put the bricks together. And we all know there is nothing can bring the children of God to stay together other than the bond of perfectness. Put on charity, agape love of God. Amen. I can never say, me and 10 of the brethren, we believe in serpentry, you know. We love each other because we believe in serpentry. Because we know the doctrine, we believe, so we are like gangsters. But this group, I'm only good friend with these 5 people because they and me, we believe in this particular doctrine, so we are very, very strong together. My brethren, you can never be put together by doctrine, only by the love of God. Doctrines are for you to examine yourself, to make sure you stand on the absolute foundation, the word of God. All the books written by the mighty apostles of God, those are those sticks the father used to chasten. You know, in all the houses, fathers will have some big stick, the cane. Whenever the son or daughter commits a mistake, he will go and search for the king and punish him, smote him. Come back. What are you doing? I don't care if you cry, but I must punish you or else you will die. The Lord is teaching us, warning us from various ways, from your fall, from your sins, from your iniquities, from your abomination, from your mistakes, even from your goodness, because you may do something for your good to be evil spoken. The Lord can teach us in any ways. He taught Elijah, He taught Jonah, He taught David, He taught Moses, He taught everyone that we are nothing without Him. He will chasten you on the mountain. Don't wait for valley. He will make a valley on the top of the mountain. He is able. Sometimes those who are on the valley, they are on the mountain spiritually. Sometimes those who are on the mountain, they are on the valley spiritually. How we see? He sees differently. Father, son. House, the landlord. And the master of the house. Now, this verse, princess upon mortar and as a potter treaded clay, the next four verses, who has declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time that we may say, wow, that we may know, doesn't stop there. That we may say, he is righteous, yea, there is none that he sheweth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them. And I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them. And there was no counselor, that when I asked of them, could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. The Lord is chastening, rebuking, uncovering the nakedness. Because he would never go around the bush. He is the truth. The arrow goes straight. It can't go dancing around before it hits the target. Go straight. Because he's all about his grace. He won't waste time. He will wait. Waiting is different. Delaying is different. Wasting is different. Wasting, delaying, we do. It is our shame. He waits because of his love. He waits for the very single soul waiting, wandering outside. The shepherd will always look for that one single missing sheep. Always. No matter how many millions are inside, he will go for that one missing sheep. Because he is accountable. He loves us. His seed is in you. His seed is in us. Now, book of Isaiah chapter 41 talks about certain things happened after what happened to Hezekiah, right? Let's go back. 39, after King Hezekiah witnessed all of these beautiful things, he did something terrible. What Nehemiah was wise enough to avoid. Chapter 39. Brother Rinkwan, please read this for me. From verse 1 to verse 8. Verse 1 to verse 8.
Isaiah chapter 39, verse 1. At that time, Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and had recovered. And Hezekiah was pleased with them, and showed them the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment,
Amen.
And all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say, and from where did they come to you? So Hezekiah said, they came to me from a far country, from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? So Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget and they shall become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now let's remember, when Nehemiah saw that one of the priests, Eliashib, committed something against what he was called for, he brought the things of Tobiah into the house of the Lord, into the chambers. But that time, the scripture says very clearly, Nehemiah was not in the town. He was out. He came to Jerusalem and he perceived the priest had done evil things with Tobiah to bring the things of something that is not acceptable to the sight of the Lord into the chamber. What he did, he was doing everything as quick as possible to bring the filthiness out of the place, for the Lord was about to destroy all for what entered into his chamber. But Nehemiah was not there. Never forget what happened after that. He was called a priest, high priest, even more. So he brought the things of someone that is not acceptable to the sight of the Lord, to be kept inside the chamber, inside the house. He had to throw away all the filthiness out of the chamber before the Lord sent the wrath and destroyed them. He was acting quickly, swiftly. Abraham was running here and there to make sure he didn't waste his time to keep the three men in his tent under the terrible trees of Mamre. Those trees are not a joke. We are going to meditate very deeply. The name of the trees, that is a beautiful inspiration for us to learn from there. Have you ever thought, there were three men met Abraham, right? They looked up to Sodom, they started going there. And they just met Abraham in the middle, and Abraham received them, hosted them, and they gave a promise to Sarah. But when Lot met, he only met two, not three. What happened to the one? Think. Three met Abraham, but only two went to Sodom and Gomorrah to meet Lot. Where is the one more? We will prayerfully seek. The Lord allows things to see, to test, to examine us, how we respond. If the seed of Him is breaking its shell and coming alive. Lord, here I am. Not that here maybe I am. Here I am. Boldness, utterance in absolute confidence. I am part of Him. Hesitation is the shell we need to break. It's the flesh we must break for the seed to come out. But once it comes out, the root of it, the root of the tree, must be grounded here. Amen? We can never say, I need another man, something else, for me to touch this fountain of life, idol worship. Now let's remember, what Nehemiah did, Hezekiah failed to do. Correct? But both of their lives, in terms of building the wall, preserving the children of God, they were same, but in exactly opposite sequence. One before he built the wall, one after he built the wall, and also what happened during the wall was being built. Amen? Now, let's read this verse 4. Then said he, what have they seen in thine house? What all you showed? What all you spoke? Did you conceal the matter which was supposed to be concealed? That was the question the prophet is asking, the king. He is not simply asking, oh, I showed my cupboard, showed all my king's clothing, I showed all my jewelries, I showed all my precious collections, I showed everything. Prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, is asking very clearly, what have you showed to him? And look at the answer from Hezekiah. And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen, and there is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. This is the only thing that you should do with the Lord and his children, not to with anyone else. It is harlotry with Babylon. He literally committed harlotry with Babylon by revealing things to the king of Babylon of what he is not supposed to reveal. The Lord blessed him to be concealed. The Lord blessed him to witness how he shielded him with the wall when the angels went and smote all the armies of Sennacherib. Still he failed, and he himself made a hole. He himself made a door.
He invited King of Babylon, come on, welcome. Welcome to my house. Look at what we have. This is all we have. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. When Hezekiah says, my house, he is representing everything that was put under his authority. Because he was a king. Hezekiah cannot simply say, my house, my wife, my children, my relatives. No. He is not in the position to circumcise himself from the godly family, from his earthly family. He has no right. He has absolutely no right. When it comes to the word of God, we are bound to the word of God. When it comes to the church of God, we are bound to the family of God. If Hezekiah simply says, it's wrong. When I say my house, I'm just referring to whatever belongs to me. You yourself belong to him. Tell me what belongs to you. You sing the song, right? I belong to you. Then what belongs to you? That is the word the Lord is saying. Nothing. You are nothing without me. Only then you belong to me. You are everything in me. You are nothing without me. Hezekiah uncovered something to the enemy. Did Prophet Isaiah said, it's fine, my friend. You know, we had good time together. We put on sackcloth. We prayed. We tore our clothes. We had a wonderful time when Sennacherib attacked us. We had a wonderful episode. It was a very nice moment. So, let's just forget and move on. You know, let's just bury it under the bush. Just, it's okay. If he did this, Isaiah is gone. The word prophet Isaiah is gone. There is no difference between him and the king of Babylon. What Isaiah said? The same thing Saul received from prophet Samuel. He touched his garment, he rented his clothes. And Samuel said, your kingdom will be divided. He cursed him on the spot. But after Samuel realized Saul fell from what the Lord placed him, he was mourning, he was crying, he was regretting. But the Lord says, come on, I am the one who made all of you. I am moving on. I am preparing David. Why are you crying? Why are you stuck in the same place? Continue to flow with me. Then he took him, showed him David. Then the rest is we learn from what the Lord did. But now you read this. Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day, until today, not even yesterday, not even the time when you showed, until today, shall be carried to Babylon. Why? Because you failed to carry forth the filthiness out of thine house, but rather you made a hole, opened a door by even more so, and invited the filthiness to be in. Door is your arrogance, confidence, and that ignorance to go against the Lord and say, my sacrifice, take it. I want you to take it. Do you hear me? I'm your son. Take it. I want you to accept my sacrifice. You can't demand God. No one can demand God. We cry unto him, Abba Father. We cry unto him in humbleness. He listens to the cry of his children, not to the demands of his children. No one can demand the Almighty. We cry. We ask. We speak. Who is he for us to demand him? If he demands us to do something to compensate our sins, where would we go? He says, then said Hezekiah Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. This was completely addressed in 2 Kings, as we read a few weeks ago. What happened? The Lord left Hezekiah to see what is in his heart. And after he tried him, and the Lord restored him back. Because of his everlasting mercy and kindness. Now, hole, door, filthiness, going in, going out. Turn your Bibles, book of Ezekiel, chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. Yes, Brother Infant, read this for us until I request you to stop. Chapter 12, verse 1.
Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, son of man, prepare your belongings for captivity and go into captivity by day in their sight. You shall go from your place into captivity to another place in their sight. It may be that they will consider, though they are a rebellious house. By day, you shall bring out your belongings in their sight, as though going into captivity. And at evening, you shall go in their sight, like those who go into captivity. Dig through the wall in their sight, and carry your belongings out through it. In their sight, you shall bear them on your shoulders, and carry them out at twilight. You shall cover your face, so that you cannot see the ground. For I have made you a sign to the house of Israel. So I did as I was commanded. I brought out all my belongings by day, as though going into captivity. And at evening, I dug through the wall with my hand. I brought them out at twilight, and I bore them on my shoulder in their sight.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Verse 7. Let's read this again. And I did so as I was commanded. And I did so as I was commanded. God told Isaiah, go naked for 3 years. And he did so. How come the servants of God, they simply obey without even asking why, what is the fruit, what is the outcome, is there any benefit for me, is there any credit for me, is there any profit for me? They did so as it was commanded to them. Obedience. When things challenge obedience, it grows into rebellion. The moment rebellion starts doing something in the inner chamber, the Lord has His own way and He will have His way. There is none stopping it. Either we go along with the river or we jump out of the river and say, I will just stand here. You can go. I don't want to travel in this bus. It's very shaky. I feel a lot of sickness. I just want to stay and sleep here. The trees that are planted by the side of the river of life, it grow, it bear fruit. Amen? Those are just a lesson for us to understand the importance of water of life. But we are in that river, moving with Him. The Lord says, I will identify you by your works, and you will do even more greater works than me, because my Spirit is in you. Because I will make you to do even more greater works than me. The Lord who fed 5,000 when He was sitting on the mount and giving parables, He could only provide them bread and fish. But Apostle Peter, He baptized them. The word of God sitting on the mount, sitting on the rock, giving parables, but those 5,000 blinded people, they were looking for a piece of bread. I'm hungry. I'm very hungry. I can't listen if there is no bread for me. And the Lord made a miracle for them. And those 5,000, they were not there when He was in Calvary. They were not fighting for Him. They were not saying, don't crucify Him. We only heard the word crucify Him. The voice was louder. When Jesus told Judas, when he came to kiss Him, to betray Him, He told all those officers who came to arrest Him, do what you want to do. Because the power of darkness is right now. I will do nothing. The Lord obeyed the time of life that He was manifesting for all of us. He accepted to be arrested by some flesh. And use the word, the power of darkness times are with you now. So do what you want. But use the word, my friend, do what you came for. He told Judas, my friend, do what you came for. Come and stab me in the back. I love you, but still you chose to betray. He didn't hate him. He still called him, my friend. Never forget that verse. That is the Lord whom you serve. That is the love that mold our life. That is the love that brings us together. But chamber, inner chamber, tabernacle, house of the Lord, temple of God, flame, when it comes to offering sacrifices, when it comes to do the commandments of the Lord, He would be different. He would see things differently. She would be looking for obedience. He would be examining the fear of God in your heart. He would be checking the reverence and honor that you have for Him, because He revealed Himself to you. He won't do this outside the world, but He will do this inside the world. Because you are all called by His name. He gave His truth to you. He can't go and tell the Sennacherib, love me with all your heart. He can't, because he was worshipping Nisroch. He was not worshipping Yahweh, that what we do. He was worshipping Nisroch. How can the Lord expect him? Keep your heart chamber clean. Let me dwell. He won't say. He can't say. He is the only Savior. There is only one God. Now, here, the watchman was revealed to things one by one. Then the Lord was giving him instruction, do this one by one. Chapter 8, he showed the hole, then he showed the door, then he showed all the wicked abomination, and it is also very beautiful. It's exactly 25, what we read, just bring and read this again. Chapter 8, please read from verse 15 and 16. 15 and 16, just read this again.
Ezekiel chapter 8,
15 and 16.
Verse 15 to 16. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, you will see greater abominations than this. So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces towards the east. And they were worshipping the sun toward the east.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Numbers chapter 16, verse 34 and 35. Verse 34 and 35. Numbers 16. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. So, this is after the Lord devoured Korah and his company. So, those who saw it, they were scared. So, they fled from the scene, because they thought the earth will also open up and devour them. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Being very specific, as he has always been. And there came a fire and consumed the 250 exactly who were raising and put their fire in the incense that was not acceptable. And whoever offered incense, it consumed. Now, in book of Ezekiel, what we just read concerning some worshipping the sun, not the Son of God, sun. And he brought me in the inner court of the Lord's house. Verse 16. Inner court of the Lord's house. It is still called the Lord's house. And he shows to him, behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord. Now you see, inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord. This verse, you will see both exist in the same verse. House of the Lord and the temple of the Lord. When you see this, behold, he went into the inner court of the Lord's house, and here, door of the temple of the Lord. Temple of the Lord. Between the porch and the altar were about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worship the sun toward the east. So the Lord is showing one by one. See what they are doing. See what they are doing. But imagine in the shoes of the watchman. He would thinking, why are you telling me? What would I do? I myself not perfect. I myself not worthy of anything. Why you fill me with your spirit, and why you are showing this to me? If the Lord hath not purposed to show grace and mercy to that house, to that temple, do you really think he would take a watchman to go and do the surgery? Do you really think the Lord would go and bring his prophet Isaiah to go and help Ezekiah, to go and help the prophet through Nehemiah, whatever the help that the servants of God, children of God receive, even including the death and destruction, chaos and punishment and chastening and plagues, you could see the Lord did not want them to perish forever. He wanted to preserve them. He wanted to hold them. They were lingering. He wanted to hold them firm. When you hold us firm, it will be painful. It's true. No pain, no gain. It will be painful. But the Lord says, I know. My children, they will endure. Because they stand upon my foundation. And for that reason, their feet are shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. The fruit of the Spirit will give them all the tools. Patience, temperance, meekness, whatever it is needed to endure. To wait and stay in the fire. Because the fire would never destroy the children of God. The commandment was very clear. He told the watchman and he told the instructor very clearly. I want you to carry forth this filthiness in their sight, in broad daylight. So that everyone see my testimony in you. Everyone see the boldness that you have for me. Not for the people, but for me. People will be protected by the Creator. And for all of us, hold on to the foundation. Hold on to the revelation. In His faith, in His mercy. Without compromising the agape love of God, the only martyr can keep us together. If someone comes and tells us, you are a church of God, wonderful. What made you all to come together? If you say, this doctrine, this understanding, my brethren, ask yourself a question. All those doctrines that we know, you go home and write a list that you think you feel separated and pick. What are the doctrines that you know and the enemy knows? Do you hear me? What are the doctrines that you know and also the enemy knows? And what are the things that you know that he don't know? You could single out. You could completely single out things of the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. The agape love of what the Lord wants us to embrace. Those things. No flesh. No enemy. No carnality, no wickedness can embrace other than the seeds of God. If we say, I feel separated because of this doctrine, wake up. Enemy knows what you know. If you say, no, I know. You know, Noah's son committed this sin. He knows. I know serpent seed. He knows. What the flesh knows, what is that for us to boast? Whatever the Lord revealed to us, for us to be even more loving, even more kind, even more humble. To grow into the stature of the measure of Christ. To make sure our foundation is strong. To allow us to be pruned. If we try to put on those doctrines as clothing, my brethren, the Lord would say, you are naked. He would say, you are naked. I see lot of blame. I see lot of spot. You are not blameless. Your bread is not unleavened. It's polluted. A man who is going to the battle, he is not relying on his armor or his weapon. He is relying on the faith that he has in God and the Father who is watching over him. Then he put everything into practice. That is secondary. If Joshua thought, look at my strength, I defeated all the Amalekites, God would say, come. Moses and Aaron and Hur, they were praying for you on the top of the mountain. And Moses was tired and weary. He was also supported by Aaron and Hur. No flesh can boast the victory. God made sure I am who I am. Moses cannot claim. Aaron cannot claim. Hur cannot claim. Joshua cannot claim. No one can claim. He just made everybody to understand the power of fellowship. He just told them, I am all in your life. Nobody can say, if I didn't go for the battle, if I didn't go for the prayer, no one can say. Everybody was shut. The mouth, the tongue clipped to the roof of the mouth. So no one can boast. If you say, I'm a very good servant of God, he came and washed the feet of his disciples. Who are we? Do you see all the things around us in the world? Hatred, nations fighting one another over a lot of things. But do you see what they miss? Everything that is happening around us, the only thing that is missing is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Everybody, they have here a little, there a little. But they are trying to defend their heritage. They are trying to defend their legacy. They are trying to make a name for themselves. But the revelation of Jesus Christ is not there. If Old Testament is complete, then where is Calvary? If all the Gospels are sufficient, then where is the power of resurrection? What happened in Calvary, what happened in Garden of Gethsemane made this Bible complete. That is where everybody cannot see. The veil is still there. Until the Lord come and tear on the veil, nobody can make them understand. But for us Gentiles, we receive grace and mercy through apostolic ministry. We should be even more humble than anyone. How come we can have this vanity of vain babblings? Doctrines will make you to see clear, will also make you to be confounded. The prophecies of God will warn the children of God, will also confound the children of God. He knows who is standing in the spirit. Without the lamp, you cannot see things clearly. I was blessed by a wonderful, heart-melting experience I had 3 weeks ago, which I was waiting for the Lord to prick my heart to share the testimony. I took my daughter to a pool. She wanted to go and play in the pool. She was asking, and I went with her. That day, my spinal disc pain was excruciating, so severe. I told her, you know, I'm sorry, dear, you go and play in the pool. I will just sit outside the pool. It was Saturday evening. So I was just keeping my Bible with me. I was meditating on Prophet Elijah and Prophet Elisha and also Prophet Isaiah. I was meditating on how the Lord is dealing with His children, how He is chastening them. What is that for me to learn? Because I want to be chastened. I hope you all have the same desire. You must ask the Lord, chasten me, punish me, prune me. You should tell the Lord. Don't just say, Lord, show me your grace, show me your mercy. Too much of grace is good for nothing for you. His grace is sufficient. He knows when to show, He knows when to hit. So I was asking the Lord to punish me, chasten me. That is my prayer. Then, by God's grace, I closed my eyes, I was meditating, and the pool was only 1 meter deep. She cannot drown because it is a children's pool. So I was a bit careless. I was very careless. That's the right way to put it. I was very careless. And I was closing my eyes and meditating. And I was also recovering from fever and throat pain. So Sanita, she gave me a ginger, honey, lemon tea. So I kept my flask. I was like, take one sip, then soothe my throat. And I was just meditating. When I was deeply thinking about the scripture, I was saying, three men were with Abraham, two went to Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened to the missing one? Why the Lord didn't address it? I was just prayerfully thinking. Then suddenly the tea, what I drank, it actually went over my, over my nose, and I sneezed with loud noise, a very strong sneeze. I have different Bibles. The Bible that I was using for study is a different Bible. The Bible was full of tea. All the pages become wet. And I was like, what happened? Then I saw Hazel was drowning in the pool. Just in front of my eyes, there were five or six sitting outside. They were all reading books around the pool. And she could not make noise because she was already, already drowned. And I could only see her hand. She was trying to jump and scream, and she could not scream. So she saw me. I just placed the Bible and I told her not to panic, stay calm. And I just took one long breath. And I swam all the way to where she was and I pulled her to the shore. Then she didn't stop. She wanted to learn and she learned swimming on the same day. Then I came back to the shore. I just, sat on my chair. I was completely wet. I was not prepared to go into the pool. I was I was wet. Then I was thinking, what happened just now? If I didn't sneeze, if, that sort of a kind of a warning, I would not have opened my eyes. I would have just closed my eyes and keep on meditating. Assuming she would never drown in this pool because it's not deep. But she was panicked. She was drowning herself, bending her knee and going in because she was panicked. If she stand firm, she wouldn't have drowned. And I told her to understand, if you stand, you won't drown. The water is only here. But she was panicking. So she was trying to, go discern this. She was drinking water. Then I was wrong. So I was asking the Lord, forgive me. I was being careless. I should have been inside the pool. Then after that, I closed the Bible. Because the Bible was wet, I just, let it dry and just closed the cover. Then, just next to me, there was a big, a small balcony or portico. I heard a very loud screaming noise. Very loud screaming. I thought someone is scolding me in vulgar words, in their own language, because what I did or what I was not faithful. I don't know. I thought someone is scolding me behind me because the noise was coming behind me. I turned back, a 35 to 40 year old man, you know, well grown up, well built man, extreme severe case of autism. He was hitting his head like this, so forcefully, I could see his face was reddish, you know, he was very fat, you know, a born, brought up, you know, citizen in this land. He was keep on beating himself because of autism, and he was screaming at me, you know, in his own language. He was asking me to look at him. That's all. He didn't, I would understand from his language. Keep on screaming and beating himself. I was sitting outside. It was happening inside the house. No, you know, it's in the pool, right? So, I don't know what to do. I was just sitting in the chair. I was not moved to go up because, you know, I don't know him. Then, I saw the father who was sitting in the portico on the other side. I didn't see him first. He was reading a book. Then he closed the book. He just walked straight to him as if it is his daily routine. Of course, I don't know how many years, but I'm sure he is born like this because he could see from the way he was behaving. And the father, he just went to him, walking very calmly, and he just hugged him very closely. Then he started beating his father. Before his father came near to him, he was beating him like this. He likes to beat on his cheek, you know, like this. Very forcefully. It was very, very heavy to see. Then the father came into the scene, he started beating his father. For 5 minutes, I don't know how long, 5 minutes or 10 minutes, I was witnessing this, you know, and the father was holding on to him like this. He won't stop until his hands are tired. That is his problem. He won't stop screaming until he becomes tired. The only way for him to be quiet is for him to be tired. The father waited until he's tired of his hands. I saw him, he was doing like this. Then he kissed his father. Then he went and sat in a chair as if nothing happened, the son. And the father, his face became, because they are very fat skin. So when the son was keep on beating him, his face become, you know, the red. I could see the red or the blood, you know, I could see the cheek, the red in, you know, in his cheek. Then he went to the same seat and he took the book, started reading. I was sitting and watching. I just experienced something with my daughter. And I was also meditating on the word sneezing, because sneezing, something is stopping your breathing, right? When you sneeze, you clear the path for you to breathe again. Do not underestimate cough and cold in your life. Imagine you lose the ability to cough, sneeze. Something gets stuck, you know, in your breathing path. Something gets stuck here. If you cannot sneeze, what will happen? Just imagine. If you cannot sneeze and clear, what will happen? Yes, it is a shout. Sneezing is like a shout. But once the shout is completed, whatever is blocking your nostrils, it comes out. Prophet Elijah, when he tried to heal the child, he just laid on her, outstretched himself on her, and the child sneezed 7 times. Remember, sneezed, not cried, sneezed 7 times and came back alive. So I was also, actually I was meditating on that verse after the swimming pool incident. Then I saw this father and son relationship. I was very touched because I started thinking about my father. Whatever the sacrifices that he made to make him to be in a place where he is almost bedridden, he was working for me, he was working hard to put the food on the table for me, for my brother, for my mother, he was doing all of this, but now, when we grow up, we despise. Don't you even know how to use a cell phone? Don't you even know how to use WhatsApp? Come on, old generation, is it? Shame on all the young generation. Remember the sacrifices, the love, the hard work that took all of you to be here. Honor your parents. If you do not know how to honor your parents, take it from the altar. You will never know how to honor the father. I was just soaking in the love of that father for the son. They are not Christians. But the love was true, pure, true, right? There is no other love other than the true love of God. But the Lord made all of us, everything that breathed us, praise and worship the Lord. I was sitting and witnessing, then I was thinking, this father, he has been used to it. I was actually observing the father. He closed the book and he started watching my daughter playing in the pool, because she was the only one in the pool at that time. Maybe two or three, maybe on the other corner. But he was watching my daughter playing happily, you know, in the pool with my son. And he started smiling. No, as if he's happy to see children playing, you know, in the pool. He just tried to forget, you know, his burden, his pain, just to relax for a while. and I'm just like sitting here watching my daughter, watching him, watching his son. And a few days later, when I saw, as I shared, you know, on Friday, I saw a very tall, big tree uprooted because it died, the tree is died, no, tree is dead, dead tree, yeah, dead tree. So as you know, if the dead tree is very big, big branches, if those contractors do not remove it, over time, it will get dry, and the branch will break and will fall on the road. It will be a safety, you know, hazard for the travelers, right? So in order for the safety of those who travel on the road, that dead tree was to be uprooted. And we complain when the Lord prunes us. Ask yourself, which one is better, pruning or uprooting? Ask yourself. I prefer pruning. I don't want to be uprooted. All of us not want to be uprooted. We want pruning. So that tree was growing all these years, in the end to be uprooted because it died. It's a dead tree. And we just start a sermon with this: abide in me, abide in the vine, in the branch. But how the chapter goes? Just yesterday, my mother shared a prayer request to me, which I do not know how to describe clearly. So I try my best as the Lord leads me. My uncle, he has two sons, 11-year-old and 9-year-old, young sons. The younger one of his kidney is kidney failure. I asked for prayers a few weeks ago. His name is Marshall. At such a young age, he had this, you know, the fistula, and he's going for dialysis. But it was a wrong treatment. Later they found out that the kidney has to be replaced or else he would not survive. So the father, he is a believer. He left Catholicism. He is a believer. I know him. And he's a very wonderful brother, beautiful soul. He was asking for the treatment that he can afford or that he can wait and do. So he was performing dialysis, you know, for his son until he gets the slot for the surgery or wait for some option for the kidney transplantation, as he said. And my mother was also searching, all my relatives searching, and they found a good hospital and a good doctor who is willing to do, but you know that the cost, the surgery is very costly. So me and my mother, we were discussing how we can support, you know, with whatever the best we can, and how we can talk to all the relatives and, you know, bring and all our, you know, all our support, you know, to make it possible, because it is not going to be covered. You know, he's a farmer. He is a well-educated engineer, but he left everything because he loves farming. He went back to his native. He became a farmer. I mean, the believer whose son had a kidney failure. He was reaching out to all the hospital. Then he called my mother. My mother said he was so happy, so joyful. He told, you know what happened? I saw this doctor, which is 500 kilometers away from his hometown. And they said, it is possible, I can give my kidney to my son. It is perfectly fine. We did blood test because of the DNA match. And the father, he's my son. He was laughing, smiling, rejoicing that he's going to take one of his kidney and pass it to his son for the son to live. And his son is 9 years old. He has an elder brother. And imagine the wife, what she would think. My husband is going to lose one kidney for my son to gain one kidney. Do you think he's going to jump? It's pain, joy, and pain. That is how our life is. Now, something the father is rejoicing that he is going to give his kidney to his son because it is possible. So they're making all the arrangements now. And you could only see joy and happiness and absolute confidence in the face of the father. Not he's going to lose his kidney, because his son, he will go to any extent. He will do anything. He will lose everything for the son. Your father is the same. It's just you didn't see it. For some, it is exposed. And for some, it is hidden. But all the good fathers in the word of the Lord, they are the same. They would do anything for the children. Now, we can only pray, Lord, may you bless this little son, Marshall, to recover from this. And this surgery is going to happen. And we say, God so loved the world, he gave his only son for the salvation of all of us. Praise the Lord. I know this doctrine. I'm good. Come on. Every time we just forget the love of God, how the Father, how the love, the revelation of truth, it is all helping us to see clearly how much He loves you. Everything is helping you to see how much He loves you. How much He loves you. If anyone can say, I believe in Jesus Christ because of what is happening in the world war now, and it is true, A plus B is equal to C plus D, so it's clear, I believe in Jesus Christ. All these prophecies, it makes sense. It makes sense. You don't believe the Lord because it makes sense. You believe the Lord because the Spirit bears witness with your spirit. And you experience there is something about His love that my lips cannot explain. That He humbles me, that He comforts me, that He embraces me. I feel like a child in His bosom. Then you can say, I love Jesus Christ. And this is the identity of our church. We are all united as one family of God because the love of God was revealed to us in His word, in His truth, by the apostolic foundation. The end goal must always be why we are one family of God, because of His love. The right mortar, the right cement that brought all of us together. Any divination, anything that questions the love of God, the Lord would call it as disobedience. I was talking to a brother a few months ago. We were meditating on the life of Jesus Christ. How graceful He is. How powerful the words are. Look at the way He heals sick. Beautiful. There is one attribute of Jesus that is subtle throughout His life. Obedience. Go and study the life of Jesus Christ. You will see obedience. If the Lord called you, you are the Alpha and Omega. Wait for 30 years. I will give you only 3 years. Go and do whatever you want. Would you wait? You know, I can't wait. I know so many things. I feel so much strong. Let me go and do something. Obedience. Obedience is what I see from my Savior. Obedience. That's the beauty of our submission to the Word. Now, what we just read. Hole, door, inner court of the house. Door of the temple of the Lord, and we have been focusing on the word. Every man stood at the door of his tabernacle, of his tent. Amen? All of us are responsible for why we love God, why we stand in His face. He will ask us. Now, let's remember the sequence. Nehemiah, Hezekiah, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, what it led to them, how the words are spoken. Now, this watchman was also told to take things in the broad light, to carry certain things on his shoulder. Look at the word very clearly. It is in verse 7, and I did so as I was commanded. I brought forth my stuff by day, a stuff for captivity, and even I dipped through the wall in my hand. I brought it forth in the twilight, and I bare it upon my shoulder in their sight. The Calvary that all witnessed when Jesus carried you, me, all our sins, the shame on the cross, in broad light where everyone can see that He has done it for all, a testimony, a witness that we do everything, we bear His reproach outside the camp. Amen? But you know what? Most of the times we don't do it. We only do it inside the camp because it is easy. The same way we speak of His love inside the church, we don't do it outside the church. Be honest. Be honest and be sincere. The same way you speak of the love of God with your brethren, you won't go and tell to your colleagues or your relatives. You may think, what if they may look at me like a fool? You would always try to prepare your mind. I'm going to prepare God and take all the notes. I'm going to meet my uncle, meet my father-in-law, meet my son, meet my daughter-in-law. I'm going to speak to them and they are going to understand and they are going to understand the truth. Come out of this shell. That is not how the word of the Lord works. Joseph did not explain to the brothers. He simply extended an invitation of life, invitation of love to his father. And the father came and saw the milk and honey in the land. He understood because God spoke to him. If at all we can do something for the Lord in truth, in sincerity, in humbleness, invite your brethren, your loved ones, your family, your colleagues. Say, come to our fellowship. Experience the fellowship. Come to our church. Sing songs with us. What else you can say? Everything else will come nicely after that. The Lord prepares the heart to speak and to listen. Amen? You can't simply prepare your heart to speak. There must be an ear to listen. There must be a paper to write. There must be a wall to build. The Lord would not launch the arrow if he don't see the bullseye. He will keep it. He will wait for the target. Then he will release the arrow. The word of God cannot be thrown as the food of swine. Remember, we must be very sincere. Let's turn your Bibles. Isaiah, book of Ezekiel, chapter 9, brother. Brother Ingpan, read this for us. Chapter 12, from verse 8. Chapter 12, from verse 8 until 16.
Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 8 to 16. And in the morning, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said to you, What are you doing? Say to them, Thus says the Lord God, This burden concerns the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel who are among them.
Amen.
Say, I am a sign to you. As I have done, so shall it be done to them. They shall be carried away into captivity. And the prince who is among them shall bear his belongings on his shoulder at twilight and go out. They shall dig through the wall to carry them out through it. He shall cover his face so that he cannot see the ground with his eyes. I will also spread my net over him, and he shall be caught up in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of Chaldeans, yet he shall not see it, though he shall die there. I will scatter to every wind all who are around him to help him, and all his troops, and I will draw out the sword after them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord, when I scatter them among the nations and disperse them throughout the countries. But I will spare a few of their men from the sword, from the famine, and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the Gentiles, wherever they go. Then they shall know that I am the Lord.
Amen. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. The Lord is explaining that I am doing this for a purpose. Amen. Purpose is a word that is always forgotten against the word plans. We are very busy with plans. But what is the purpose? God had purpose in his heart. And we are sitting here listening to him. Those plans are nothing but executions. But what is the root cause of it? What is the outcome of it? The purpose. The origin and the end. The intent and the target. The bow and the bullseye. And the arrow. If the arrow is not sharpened, the master won't even take it. Amen? And he says, be sharpened by my word. I will take it whenever I need it. Just wait. Just wait. Be patient. Moses learned patience 40 years in palace, 40 years in the desert, then 40 years in the wilderness. The Lord prepared him. 80 years, go and learn. 40 years, come on, work. Prophet Jonah was in the fish belly. 3 days, go and stay in there. Come, now walk 3 days to the city of Nineveh. 3 days. The Lord is absolutely particular when it comes to numbers. He's a great mathematician. He introduced everything. He's very specific. He gave the inch by inch dimension of how the ark should be. Lest any man go and pollute it. Now we just read this verse that I will scatter. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. When those people who are trying to build the Tower of Babel and the Lord wanted to scatter them. But he didn't say, I will scatter them, then they shall know that I am the Lord. He didn't say that. I will scatter them. But for us, chasten, rebuke, whatever he does, he says, can you see my love? Can you see my love? Now the son who will receive the kidney from his father, he will remember his father for the rest of his life. Correct? Every time he drink water, he breathe, he wake up, he would say, Lord, I thank you for my father. So would you say, I would only love my father if I see his kidney in my body? Is that so? See how weak we are. That is why God says, you can't even love the brother who is just in front of you. How would you say that you love me? I pray the church, the children of the church, honor your parents with respect and love. And remember, every sickness that they go through, you are part of it. Every sickness my father went through, I am part of it. He worked for me. He suffered for me. Whatever the bad things happened to him, I am also accountable. I can't simply say, Father, look at me, how good I am. Why can't you be good? It is very easy to speak. You are not in his position when they start their life from absolutely nothing. If you don't even realize this, how would we understand Calvary? How would we understand what the Lord put inside you? His spirit, which is even more special than kidney, right? It purifies your life. It purifies your soul. It purifies you like a silver, refined, like a sword pushed through, tossed and fro, to be ready for his coming. How important it is. And we despise the spirit. We say, I want something else. May the Lord bless us to destroy the wall and rebuild it in his name. And rebuild it with his wall. Don't try to repair it. I'm asking you. There are certain things can be repaired, but certain things must be rebuilt. The Lord is very particular. Healing the brokenhearted and giving a new heart. He did both. Rebuilding the wall and build the temple and lay the foundation. He did both. He knows what to do. Just submit. Just submit. Let's read John chapter 15, the verses that I wanted to complete today. John chapter 15. We shall continue the journey by God's grace. John chapter 15, I will read from verse 16. We read until 5. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. If the tree is not full of life, it will be uprooted. But he waits time. John 15 verse 6. John 15 verse 6. And is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But these men, they wait until the instruction from the Lord. Amen? As we read, the vessels of the Lord, the angels, the bowels, is filled with the bowels of his wrath, to go and pour out the wrath. But there is a period of grace to wait. The Lord says, wait, let's wait. Let's make a man in our image. Let's make them. Let's help them to be born again, in spirit, in truth, to be born of water and fire. Let's wait, let's make. He's making. He's building the city right in front of our eyes now. Souls are being baptized. People are embracing the marvelous light from darkness. He's building right now in front of our eyes. He's not just simply sitting quiet. It's happening right now. It has been happening all this while. The Lord sent seven spirits of his manifestation throughout the seven churches of Revelation. What needs to be fed? That's why we read last Sunday. Blessed is the servant who gives the food to the children in the due season. Every messenger of God in all seven churches, they carried the revelation, what the Spirit wanted them to manifest. They fed, and we are eating, drinking. For what? To proclaim his death until his coming. Amen? This is where we all forget. We eat, we drink, we eat, we drink. But the Lord says, I'm doing this, I'm giving this for you to remember my death until I come. If we forget Calvary, we are gone. If we forget the love that we saw in Calvary, we are done. Because whatever we know, men, flesh knows. What they do not know, the love of God. So let's read this. And if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Look at the beautiful words of the Son honoreth the Father. I want you all to bear fruits, for my Father is glorified in thee. we are discussing on the love of a father for a son. Are we ignoring the mother? There are a lot of beautiful, wonderful mothers who sacrifice their life for the children. Now, I'm asking a question to all the children, including me. If your mother comes and asks you face to face, I want you to pay the rental fee of you staying in my womb for 9 months, how much you will pay? I'm asking you, those who despise their mothers, ask their question, can you answer your mother if she asks you, now we pay rental for the apartment, right? $300 for 3 hours. Okay, we pay. How much you will pay to your mother for you who are inside a womb for 9 months? What is your rental cost to your mother? And the Lord said, I have purposed that you are mine. We were in his mind, amen? How much you are going to pay to the Father? He had purposed all of us in his thought, in his mind. Carrying all of us in his bosom. What we will pay? And that is exactly what was already preached on Friday. Living sacrifice. There is nothing. You can only live as a good son to your mother. That's it. You cannot pay her. What can you do to her to say, me and you, the case is closed. I paid this much, done. You can't even pay for the love of your mother. What will you do to the love of the father? You were in his mind. The Lord says, you were with me from the beginning. That is how John 15 ends. Verse 27, read this. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Was it like the moment I started performing miracles in the marriage of, you know, in Cana? From the beginning. When the Lord says beginning, he represents the beginning. In the beginning. We are all created in him, by him, through him, for him. Amen. May the Lord bless us to remember. When he said, before Abraham was I, when those people were looking to stone to beat him, they were also beating themselves. Because you were with him. He says, you are with me. In my mind, I breathe life into thee. That is why we say, Lord, I am a part of your word. He is not complete without you. You are not complete without him. We are together. Part of the word. Husband loves the wife. Wives submit to the husband. Two shall be one flesh. May the Lord bless us as we will continue to study next week. By God's grace. Praise the Lord. Shalom, my dear brethren. Let's always remember. Our heart, our mind, our soul, our spirit as a whole is the chamber. The Lord does not care about your outward appearance. Samuel thought the first son of Jesse is going to be the next king. But the Lord says, no. I don't see how the way you see. I don't see men by the outward appearance. He chose David. Inner chamber. He is looking for the inner chamber. May the Lord bless us. There is no hole. There is no door. That we bring filthiness in and out. We destroy it. And for the Lord to rebuild it. Because wicked abominations are those fire incense. Those 250 men put. And the Lord burnt it. And those 25 put. And the Lord destroyed it. And the Lord is the only one who can search through the deepest of our heart. The Spirit examineth all things. Amen. Yea, the deep things of God. We must dig through the wall, not by our mind. Let the word to pierce through. Lord, I am wrong. Here I am. If not, we can never bear his reproach outside the camp. We must bear it on our shoulder when the daylight everyone can see. He is the follower of Christ. He's not hiding. If you hesitate to say, I'm a follower of Christ, there is something terribly wrong with us. No matter if your parents despise you, your loved ones shame, say shame, say God bless you. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I will carry him on me in my heart. Inner court of the Lord's house is where the door of the temple of the Lord is. Not in your doctrines, not in your clothing, not in the way you behave. It is here. And the Lord wants us to make sure the flame is not put off. The glory of the Lord is inside, inner chamber. If not, the Lord says, prepare thy stuff for removing whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, we must be prepared. For the Lord will see us through. Amen. God bless you all. Let's all stand.
Thank you, brother.
Our Lord, our God, thank you, Lord, But you are the only one who can guard our hearts. You are the only one who can shield our mind. You are the only one who can anoint the words of our lips, because, O Lord, our heart belongs to Thee. Lord, may You bless us to clean and to repair the chambers and to destroy all the works of flesh and the filthiness, to be carried out of the holy place. For we are here to cry unto Thee, for the heaven to receive our prayers, for Your ears to listen unto our cry. So Lord, we pray, may You bless us, wash us thoroughly, help us to gain that boldness to utter the gospel in truth and in love, and to stand firm against all the storms, because, O Lord, You are always resting on this boat. And Lord, we are here with You, and we are resting in blessed assurance. May You command calm assurance in all our hearts, that it is well, O Lord. Lord, we pray, help us to make all things to work for good by embracing the perfectness, the bond of perfectness, Your love, in our learnings, in our prayers, in our fellowship. May You teach us to see Jesus Christ in every one of us. Help us, Lord, to be prepared to stand against all that are not acceptable in Thy sight. May You help us to surrender our flesh in Thy altar, for we are here to burn the acceptable offerings. And if not, O Lord, we ourselves will be burnt by Thy wrath. Help us, Lord, for God is consuming fire, but You have also put the flame in our heart for us to have the lamp to walk in this narrow path. We bless Your holy name. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen and amen.